All right. So we're in the tail end of Tzom Gedalia, which is one of the four fast days that commemorate various events that happen around the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Temple. On Asara B'Tevet, on the 10th of Tevet, they started to encircle the Old City. Finally, 3 years later, on Yud Zayin B'Tamuz, they went into the Old City, they penetrated the walls, and on Tisha B'Av, of course, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. This is like the last leftover of that period of time. There was a Jewish leader named Gedaliah, and he was assassinated, unfortunately, by Jews about a little bit of time after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what we're commemorating today. The question I have is a very simple one. Is that by chance that it's the day after Rosh Hashanah? According to some sources, every time we fast on Tzom Gedaliah, it's actually a fast day that's been pushed off because Gedaliah wasn't killed on this day, the 3rd of Tishrei, the 3rd of the new year, but rather on Rosh Hashanah. But because of a technicality, we can't fast on Rosh Hashanah, though there are a few that allow it. In general, the Psak in the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, is that you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So every year it's pushed off. And according to other authorities, it's actually the right date. The 3rd of Tishrei is the day that Gedaliah was indeed assassinated by a Jew. So the question I have is it by chance, you know, it happens to be today, today after Rosh Hashanah, we didn't plan it that way. It's not like God wanted another Jew to kill a fellow Jew, but it happened this way. So theoretically, it could have been the month of Cheshvan or any other month, but it happens to be the day after Rosh Hashanah. Or is it not by chance? If you look at the Slichot this morning, I think the answer is very clear. The Slichot is a constant merge between the days we're in, the days between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, which are devoted to the things that have to do with the high holidays, from repentance to other things, and the death of Gedaliah and the sad events today. And in my humble opinion, this is not by chance, but rather, indeed, I believe it's a message to all of us. You can go through an entire Rosh Hashanah and even a Yom Kippur and do everything right. You can be in shul on time, you can hear the shofar properly on both days, you can daven what you're supposed to daven, you can dip the apple in honey and many other things and eat, and it doesn't mean a thing to you. Namely, you can go ahead and go to shul in the morning and kill someone in the afternoon. And indeed, one of the sins that destroyed the first Beit HaMikdash was the fact that Jews went in the morning, they brought the proper sacrifices, and it meant nothing to them. They killed people in the afternoon thinking, all I have to do is bring this sacrifice or that sacrifice, and I'm totally forgiven. You can go through an entire period of time, be it a Shabbos, and even a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it means nothing to you. Or you can go through it, and it has some sort of a residue, some sort of an influence on you. Unfortunately, in the times of Gedaliah, it had no influence. And indeed, the day after Rosh Hashanah or on Rosh Hashanah, they killed a fellow Jew. You don't have to be the top of your class and learn a yeshiva for many years in order to know thou shalt not murder is out. And even if you're not Jewish, thou shalt not murder is out. It's one of the seven Noahide commandments. So quite frankly, there's no question in the world that the person went through Rosh Hashanah, heard the sermons, heard the shofar, and it meant nothing. His hatred for that Gedaliah overcame anything he went through in shul, or to be more precise, what he didn't go through in shul. Our job at this period of time, and especially on this day, is to ask ourselves, are the mitzvot influencing us, or are we just going through the motions without the emotions? Are we just going about life in which we basically do what's right, but it means nothing to us? So we blow shofar with our mouth, and we shake lulavs with our hands, and we light the Hanukkah candles with our hands, and we listen to the shofar with our ears, and we don't use our mouth to eat on Yom Kippur, and we do everything right, but it means nothing. It just means I'm exercising this hand, or I'm exercising my mouth. Or perhaps the mitzvot do influence us. And allow me to close with this idea. Every Shabbos, every Yom Kippur, when we go into the bubble of those special days, we always change the Amidah, the silent Amidah, because it's a special day. Makes sense? However, on all the above, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, there's one request that we say at the end of the middle bracha. The first three blessings are the same, the last three blessings are the same, and in the middle we change the bracha. And both on Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, there's one request. What's the request? Kadshenu b'mitzvotecha. Sanctify us with your mitzvot. Namely, we're asking God, let it be your will that I don't just hear the shofar or blow the shofar. I don't just fast on Yom Kippur, I sit in the sukkah or shake the lulav in the etrog on sukkahs, but rather allow it to influence me. Just like when you go for a jog, it influences you because you're in shape. And just like when you take a hot shower, it influences you, you're clean. And it's not a big deal for you to be in a room with other people. So too, when you do a mitzvah, is there a residue left, or is it just a mere technical act? On those days in which regular requests are out of the question, we ask God, Katshenu b'mitzvotecha, sanctify us through your mitzvahs. Allow us to change and to be better people. And allow the mitzvah to influence us and not just go through us. And if you don't believe me, then what do we say every time we do a mitzvah? Almost every time we do a mitzvah, what do we say beforehand? A bracha. How does the bracha go? It's the same formula. Blessed be you, God, King of the universe. What's the next few words? Asher. Kiddishanu b'mitzvotav. Namely, God, you commanded me to do this or that or the other thing. I'm asking you, God, let me not just do it. Let it influence me. So indeed, I believe the message of this day is we can go through Rosh Hashanah, God willing, Yom Kippur, Sukkot is around the corner, and so is Simchas Torah. Let it not just be technical acts and doing the right thing on the right day, which is important in and of itself, but rather, let's hope that those mitzvot can influence us above and beyond the actual moments we fulfill them, so that a terrible tragedy like today will never, God forbid, be repeated.
So I have a question. It's interesting that we focus on Gedaliah. There's a lot of people in Nevi'im even actually who killed. They killed tons of Nevi'im like all different times. Like, maybe why do we focus on Gedaliah ben Achikam? Is there any particular reason? Or because it fell during Esaris, or because it's in this time, or because it's after the.
On a mere technical level, Gedaliah was indeed one of the four fast days that the Navi Zechariah says we have to fast. The pasuk in Zechariah reads, and I quote, Tzoma Revi'i, Tzoma Chamishi, Tzoma Shvi'i, V'Tzoma Asiri, the fast of the fourth month, the fifth month, the seventh month, Gedaliah, and the tenth month are the fast days. So on a very technical level, those are the ones that were picked right, by the Navi Zechariah. Yeah. As to why we fast for him and not others, I believe that the reason is because Gedaliah was the end of any sort of hope that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you'll actually have something left in Israel. There was a little residue left, namely the Jews that were under the leadership of Gedaliah, who was nominated by the terrible government that destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, the Babylonians. And quite frankly, people thought maybe there's a chance. And once he was killed, they said it's all over. And indeed, what happened was everyone was deported after he was killed.
So it's part of the korban. That's what they say.
On that level, yeah, yes. But indeed, the slichot, both in our nusach, nusach lita, nusach pol, and all the nuschals of the Ashkenazim that change the slichot every day, they merge the two. If you would have asked me, I would have said, okay, it happens to be today, so we'll say slichot for Gedaliah right after the Shmoneh Esrei, like we do on all the rest of the fast days. And the slichot for Aseret Yemei Tshuva for these special days will say before davening, because they're two separate things. Right. And yet we merge them into one. So you could say it's technical, we're already saying slichos, let's finish up. Or you could say it's not technical. It actually is on purpose, because one has to do with the other. You don't kill a Jew unless you go through a Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't influence you. So I think that indeed is the reason why this one is so tragic. Not just because it killed any hope in Israel, but rather because, quite frankly, how can you go through Rosh Hashanah and the first thing you do afterwards is murder another Jew? And therefore the slichos is that merge of those two things. Okay.